times in our lives. We all have pain, we all have sorrow. But if we are wise, we know that there's always tomorrow. Lean on me when you're not strong, and I'll be your friend. I'll help you carry on, for it won't be long till I'm gonna need somebody to lean on. Please swallow your pride if I
to TAL Radio of Touch a Life Foundation. Touch a Life is striving for a better society, and TAL Radio aims to enable change by spreading kindness through positive stories. You're listening to the Hunger Mitao podcast. Hunger Mitao is a movement dedicated to promoting awareness on modern world's most unfortunate problem, hunger.
Hello, friends. We are Aradhna and Raj Asaba, bringing to you the Hunger Mitao podcast. In our last show, or our last podcast, the first of the Hunger in America series, we shared with you that USDA projects more than 38 million people, including 12 million children, in the United States are food insecure. That is almost 12% of our country's population.
Anna and I were recently interviewed by Amy McReynolds, Chief Equity Officer of Feeding America. We would like to share that interview with you in two parts. The first part that we will play today goes over our backgrounds, how we stumbled upon this issue of rampant hunger in the United States, and the beginning of the Hunger Mitao movement.
And then next week, we will play the second part, that part of the interview that gives you more color on how this movement is structured and the impact that Hunger Mitao has had so far.
So listeners, without further delay, here is our conversation with Amy McReynolds, Chief Equity Officer of Feeding America.
Welcome to Elevating Voices, Ending Hunger. I'm Amy McReynolds, your host and Chief Equity Officer at Feeding America. Elevating Voices, Ending Hunger is a series of conversations with individuals who are disrupting the status quo and building more equitable futures to improve food security across the country. On today's show, we welcome Anna and Raj Asaba. After raising their family and closing the chapter on successful careers in the corporate sector in 2015, Raj and Anna began writing a new chapter of their story with a focus on family, travel, and philanthropy. And while they knew about what hunger looked like in their home country of India, they were completely unaware of what the issue of food insecurity looks like in this country, let alone in their own community. Join us in conversation today with Raj and Anna, where we talk about what they've been doing to raise awareness about food insecurity and how they are enrolling others in this movement to end hunger in our country. Anna and Raj, thank you so much for joining me today on the podcast. It's a pleasure to have you here.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
So I'd love first, as we get started, if you could tell us just a little bit about yourselves. Tell us who you are.
Thank you, Amy. Good to be here. And let me give you a little background about myself and Anna. I came to the United States in 1974, 48 years ago, from India. And I landed in Michigan and started my career immediately as a dishwasher. And I had to start right away because my dad sent me to United States on a fly now, pay later ticket. So the day I landed, I was already in debt.
You had to begin to pay up.
Exactly. So with that, you know, as soon as I landed my first job, I started working and paying my debt of my fly now, pay later ticket. And once I was done with that debt, which took me almost 2 years working 12-hour days, 7 days a week shifts, you know, and once I was done paying that, I started going to college and immediately knew that computers is the area that I wanted to work in. So with that in mind, I made a career in computer science. And fast forward, in 2010, I retired as the chief strategy officer for Ross Perot at Perot Systems. And my lovely wife, Anna, she joined me in 1982.
Yes, we got married in 1982, and I came to the U.S. as well. And my initial years were, you know, kind of taking care of the family. We had two kids. After that, I started to work. And in 2009, mm-hmm. I left a company called EDS,
yes.
Electronic Data Systems,
yes.
When it was bought by HP. That's about the time when I decided to quit corporate life and do something more meaningful, which for me would have been engaging in active philanthropy.
We're going to have an opportunity to talk about Hunger Matao, but I'm also curious, how did you learn about the issue of food insecurity in this country?
So let me address that by first sharing with you that in 2009 and 2010, when Anna and I retired, we took a stock of our lives. And we said, you know, at this time in our life, at this stage in our life, what do we want to do? And both of us have been inspired by a discourse by one of the gurus from India. We heard him speak a couple decades ago. And there were three words that he mentioned in his discourse. And those were, human life is best lived in three stages: learning, earning, and returning. And those three words resonated with us. It was a simple way to look at how to get the maximum out of life, because life goes through multiple stages. Mm-hmm. In fact, I wrote an article on that whole topic. But Anna and I, at that time, when we took a stock of our lives, we clearly felt we were in our returning stage. Our two boys, they were both grown. They were both off of our payroll. And they were both, you know, working and contributing citizens of the country. So we felt that we had three priorities in our lives at that stage. And those were, we wanted to spend more time with our aging parents and family members.
Okay.
We wanted to travel and see this beautiful world that God has put us on. Hmm. Not just be stuck in good old Texas or just United States. So we wanted to do more of that. And then thirdly, we felt we were really in our returning stage. And returning doesn't mean only writing a check. Returning means, in our perspective, returning is giving back in the form of not only materially, but our experiences, our knowledge, lessons learned, mistakes made, you know, our network to the next generation, so that we can provide them with a better, richer platform to launch from. So we wanted to do more concerted effort in figuring out ways to do meaningful returning for the next generation and for the society that actually played a big role in shaping us in who we are.
It almost sounds like the way you talk about returning, that it creates a new cycle for people to learn as well.
Oh, totally, totally.
Yeah.
Because it's so different from what we are kind of tuned into our entire working careers.
And now you become free and you look at, okay, how can I employ all these resources into something that's even more gratifying than corporate careers were?
Yep. Yes, yes.
So we were basically, from 2010 onward, put all of our effort around those three things. So we were attending all the family functions, spending a lot of quality time with family members, you know, and parents here in the United States as well as in India. And we traveled and saw different parts of the world every year. But and philanthropy-wise, our philanthropy focus was primarily in known causes here in America, like March of Dimes, walkathons, and things of that nature. And a large part of it was focused back in India, because in India, the issues were several. Mm-hmm. And they were also very visible,
mm-hmm.
you know, from hunger to education to poverty. I mean, it was just staring at you.
Yes.
So we also looked at it that our dollar went a long ways in an emerging country like India.
Mm.
So majority of our philanthropy was focused on causes in India. But interestingly enough, all of that changed in 2015. In 2015, I was having lunch with our local mayor, and he asked me to support his backpack program.
Mm.
And when I thought it was some kind of a marketing gimmick. And when I asked him, what exactly is this backpack program? He says, Raj, I'm talking about backpack filled with enough food for a child to last for the weekend.
Ah, yes.
I was shocked. I immediately said, oh, you mean for the... downtown areas, the rough neighborhood, the food deserts. He said, no, I'm talking about Plano, which is one of the richest cities in the country. He's saying that the schools where our children went, the school where his children are going. I came home and I told this to Anna. And of course, Anna, first thing she says, Raj, you're getting too old. You know, you didn't hear him right.
But it sounds like it was deeply impactful in that moment. Like, you have to investigate this.
It was. And it was actually pretty incredulous first because, you know, we look around the community we live in. Hunger is not visible.
That's right.
Right? The school, the parking lot at the school that our kids would go to, there were better cars there than the ones that we were driving. So it was almost like a, you know, what is this hunger? Where is this hunger? Our friends never talked about it. So it was like, okay, you know, we really need to do some digging here.
Yes.
Yeah.
So one of the things that Ross Perot taught us, you know, and Ross Perot is, God bless his soul, amazing leader that this country had. And having worked for him, you know, he was a man of one-liners, and one of his one-liner was, if you ever want to find the truth, bring all the liars in one room. So we both felt that we need to really get to the bottom of this. You know, is hunger really an issue in Plano, in North Texas, in United States? So we invited the Plano mayor to our home for dinner. We invited the food bank leaders to our home for dinner. I was on the board of a physician's organization, Indian physician organization. So I asked them to come for dinner, because I said, if hunger is an issue, it'll eventually translate into health issues. So
That's right. You
need to listen to this. So they all came over here and they heard the food bank talk about the stats that 800,000 people in this rich community, rich county, were food challenged. One in six North Texan was struggling. One in four school-going children did not know where the next meal is coming from. So we were totally shocked. And, you know, the interesting thing, Amy, is that PowerPoint slides, you know, the first two slides will shock you, but after a while, you know, your mind kind of, you know, your eyes glaze over, and then you kind of tune out. So one thing that the food bank executive did was, at the end of the presentation, she pulled out a backpack and she passed it around. And as we looked in that backpack and we saw those small boxes of juices, milk, the granola bar, the sesame seed packet, there was not a single dry eye in the room that night. I mean, we were all shocked. Everybody wrote their check, but that night was a transformational night for us. Mm-hmm. Anna and I couldn't sleep. We figured that, you know, we were first of all shocked that hunger was such a big issue here and we didn't know about it.
Yes, such a hidden issue, the shame, the stigma around it.
Right, and it was hunger in a form that we did not recognize.
That's right.
Right, because coming from a different country, in India, like Raj said, hunger was everywhere around us.
Very visible. Yes.
Very visible.
Yes.
And here, learning that a person living in a house like ours, next door in the same community, could be actually hungry, it was mind-boggling.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that they are struggling to make choices between mortgage, medicine, and food is the one that typically suffers. So we at that time said we need to really get engaged on this. And at that point, we started taking active role with the food bank.
So I joined a couple of like little groups, influence groups they had at the food bank. They called it the Philanthropy Council.
Okay.
And that way I got to know more, you know, we got deeper knowledge into what the issue was, how big was the issue, the contributing reasons. And we learned about the Feeding America network of food banks. Can you believe it? I mean, we kept shaking our heads that we had been in this country for so long and we did not know about the magnitude of the issue, nor the magnitude of a response that is being created.
Yes, yes.
So, you know, as we learned more, we volunteered more, we donated our time and resources more. And each time we came back from a volunteering shift, we would look at each other and say, why are there not more people like us who looked like us in the volunteering shifts? Because we live in a community that has a very large Indian American population, very affluent group, very social group, but nowhere in our social gatherings did hunger ever come up. You know, that wasn't something that we talked about. And then it dawned on us that just as we were unaware, perhaps the community is unaware because hunger here comes in a different form.
Right.
So then we started to work with the food bank, and the new CEO of North Texas Food Bank had just come in. So we approached her with an idea.
Yeah, so basically at that time, after, you know, in the business world, we call it the due diligence. So after we were done with the due diligence, which was to first validate that hunger truly is an issue in this prosperous country, and secondly, what was the solution to that issue? And we were convinced that Feeding America and their network of food banks are doing an outstanding job in the most efficient manner to ensure that everybody across the country in every zip code has access to nutritious meals. After we were done doing our due diligence, we basically wrote our check of $100,000 and took it to the CEO of North Texas Food Bank. But we also proposed to them, because we did not want to be one and done. We proposed to the CEO, Trisha Cunningham, that we would love to stand up a community affinity group. She said, what is that? I said, basically, it dawned on us that just like Anna said, just like we did not know about the hunger issue around us, very likely our other friends in the Indian American community do not know about it. So how about if we give 3 years of our lives to, you know, raise awareness and engage the community in the fight against hunger? She loved that idea. She said, this is something that we have never done and will be unique. And she said, let me get the heck out of the way and you guys go at it and tell me how I can support.
Well, and to know you wanted to make that 3-year commitment too.
Right. That's right. And Raj and I were very clear from the get-go that there was no need for another organization to be stood up.
Yeah.
Right. There were enough organizations who were working in this space, and we picked the one that was the strongest and most sustainable. And we said, okay, let's put our strength behind this organization. You know, let's just strengthen them. So Hunger Mitao is what we called our movement. And we keep emphasizing it's a movement because it's not a registered 501c3. It basically connects the community with their local food bank.
So with our backgrounds, you know, mine in strategy, Anna's in the process side, we were able to bring our corporate learnings to first and foremost create a robust Hunger Mitao strategy. So we clearly knew that for us to engage the community, we have to raise the awareness of the hunger issue and the magnitude of the hunger issue right here in North Texas and across America. And then once the awareness is raised, we anticipated that the community is ready to engage. And if we don't have ways to engage them, we will lose them. So we identified three ways in which they could engage and make a difference. And those were the food bank clearly needs a lot of volunteers. So we wanted to increase the volunteering activity from the Indian American community. Second, you know, obviously our food bank here can provide three meals to a dollar, largely because a lot of the food is donated food. So we encourage our community to do more food drives.
Friends, you have just listened to Hunger Mitao from Tal Radio. We will be back next week with another thought-provoking episode. Meanwhile, do visit touchalife.org and hungermitao.org to know our activities and be a part of them. Until next week,
Hunger Mitao.